You are listening to a sermon by Janice Kreider, recorded on Sunday, April 10th, 2022, at Point Grey Inter-Mennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Thanks, Kevin. Jerusalem. In the entry to our condo's underground parking garage, there's a sign, Area of Refuge. I really hope that I never have to find refuge there, because there's no heat, no washroom, no place to cook, lights on all night and they flicker, and likely few places to plug in a cell phone. But when I see that sign, I think of Ukrainians who have had to shelter in subways, train stations, cellars, and so on, because of the occupation and weapons of the Russians. We know from reading the Gospels that Jerusalem was also occupied by Rome at the time of Jesus. Now, with the terrible events in Ukraine always in the news, we realize what that entailed. Granted, what the Russian soldiers and weapons are doing in Ukraine seems much more violent than what the Roman soldiers did in Israel. But the Romans were also violent. In addition, the religious leaders had little choice but to cooperate with the occupiers. I really found this painting intriguing. You can see the occupying soldiers with their swords sticking straight up. But they're outnumbered by Jesus' supporters as he's somehow allowed to ride freely down the street surrounded by them. Thanks, and we'll be looking at that again later. Power. In Ephesians 6, Paul mentions principalities and powers. In the King James Version, verse 12 reads, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." I used to wonder what he was talking about. But if you follow the news, this description of powers makes total sense. Rulers have power, and some of them are using it to harm their people. Putin, Erdogan, Assad, and many others. Some of you lived during the terrible time of Hitler. There are powerful drug cartels in Mexico and Central America. Too many pastors and priests have used their powerful positions of authority to abuse the very people they should have been guiding in the way of Jesus. Indigenous peoples have been negatively impacted all over the world, and there are structures that support racism and misogynism. Jesus mentioned the power of darkness in Luke 22:52-53, when the religious leaders came to arrest him. "Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." He may be alluding to more than physical darkness, but to the structures that allowed the colluding of religion and state. In Luke 22, right after supper, the disciples started arguing who would be the greatest and who would have the most power in Jesus' kingdom. This isn't the first time they struggled with this, despite being with Jesus and observing his behavior for 3 years. They were influenced by the models they saw in their surroundings of government and religion. Jesus told them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, but not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." This is Jesus's radical concept of turning power upside down, of the power of service combined with humility. Nonviolence. How can we respond to destructive powers like bad rulers, drug cartels that kill and coerce, abusive religious leaders, systemic structures that promote marginalization. They are enemies of the vulnerable, and if we are in solidarity with others, if we consider everyone as children of God, those powers are our enemies too. We would like this all to change because of the hurt and oppression, but we're powerless in the face of such huge challenges. As Christians, we follow in the Jesus way. Matthew 5:44-45, Jesus says, "Treat your enemies with love and respect, and send up good prayers for the ones who make trouble for you and bring pain. This will show that you are mature children of your Father from above, who sends his blessing of rain on the ones who do right and the ones who do wrong." This doesn't sound like it'll work. The principalities and powers won't be influenced by little us trying to love them. We're nowhere in their sphere of influence. Changing evil structures takes years or centuries. Did Jesus get anywhere in his day with influencing the religious and political powers? But Jesus' life and teachings point to some creative ways forward without our killing anyone or being violent. In Matthew 5:38-41, reading from the First Nations Bible, Jesus suggests taking the upper hand when subjected to violence. "You have also been told, take an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not fight back. Violence will not be defeated by more of the same. If someone strikes the right side of your face, turn to him the other side also. If someone takes you to the tribal council for your shirt, give him your vest also. If even a Roman soldier forces you to carry his bundle 1 mile, show the strength of your heart and carry it too." This is certainly a different way of resisting or fighting back. Jesus had the power of healing, and he used it in a positive way, well, many times, but when he was arrested, knowing that he was in trouble, he still took the time to heal the ear of the high priest's slave. This didn't save Jesus' life, but it may have led to some of those involved to reflect on what they were doing to him. I doubt any of us has the power of healing like Jesus had, but there are things we can do to chip away at some of the results of misused power. I'd like to share 10 examples of the powers that we have, even though these powers are limited and small, and how they can be used nonviolently to counteract the big powers. Example number one. Erdogan is the president of Turkey and has been jailing members of the Hizmet movement for years. Many have fled the country and are now stateless. Point Grey and several churches on the west side are sponsoring a Hizmet family. We have no influence over Erdogan, but we have the power to nonviolently spirit a family out from under his control to safety. Example number two, we cannot prevent pastoral abuse happening in churches, but Point Grey can model another way of doing church using lay leadership. Example number three, we cannot prevent LGBTQ individuals from experiencing marginalization and discrimination. But several years ago, support of young people from Point Grey for young people who were experiencing rejection at the Sherbrooke Church was crucial to the well-being of those young people. Example number four. There are terrible acts of violence, raping, and killing going on in Ukraine. Our country is sending military aid so the Ukrainian people have more equipment to defend themselves and fight back. A portion of our federal taxes go for this purpose. It would be great if we had the option to not pay that portion but give it to some better use, but that's difficult because most of us have our taxes withheld. Project Plowshares advocates against all weapons, and we can support them. and they have put a list of the military equipment that Canada was planning to send up through March 8, but I think that that list is now expanded. That's where our money goes. Example number 5, again, the situation in Ukraine. On Friday, Rosie sent an email to us with an interview with Fernando Enns, a European Mennonite, who is clearly against sending military aid. One of the actions he suggests is material aid. Fortunately, we have access to trusted agencies in Ukraine that are offering such aid. Example number 6. Those of you who are working at jobs where you have people reporting to you, you can model a servant-type leadership that listens in contrast to a lording-it-over type of leadership. Example number 7, we cannot stop the corruption in Central America involving drug cartels, gangs, and governments at various levels, but we can support refugees coming to freedom and safety in Canada. Example number 8, we cannot undo the injustice and violence brought upon Indigenous people over many years and in many places, but we can take some actions to listen and to be good neighbors, as Bridget Findlay told us a couple of Sundays ago. Example number 9, we cannot pressure Israel to stop occupying Palestine, but we can support CPT, now called Community Peacemaker Teams, as they stand with the Palestinians and make known the intimidation tactics and violence used against Palestinian people. Example number 10, we cannot change the childhood upbringing and moral development of people like Hitler, Trump, or Putin. But we can teach and model nonviolence and a peaceful way to handle conflict to our children, grandchildren, nephews, and nieces. Admittedly, none of us have big powers, and these are very small actions with possible minimal impact. But they resemble Jesus's positive engagement with the powers. They are all nonviolent. There's no hurt being inflicted. There's no unfair economic gain. There's no oppression. They might not have immediate results. How can we do this? Ephesians 6, 10 to 18 gives us some tools. It tells us what to wear. And this is a First Nations version, so it reads a little bit differently. Last of all, I must remind you that we're all fighting in a spiritual battle. We are weak human beings, so let your strength come from our great warrior chief. The only way to stand strong against the war plans of the evil trickster is to put on Creator's war garments. But remember, we're not fighting against human beings. Our battle is against the evil rulers, the dark powers, the spiritual forces of the spirit world above and around us. Once you are fully dressed for this war, you will be able to stand your ground in this day of the enemy's evil rule. You are now ready to make your stand. So stand strong. Wrap the sash of truth around your waist. Cover your heart with the breastplate of making wrongs right again. Put on your feet the moccasins of Creator's peace treaty, so you will always be ready to tell the good story as you walk the road of life. Then you must raise high the shield of trusting in the Creator. This shield will put out the flaming arrows of the evil one. Do not forget to put on the headdress of Creator's power to rescue and set free. And use the long knife of the Spirit, which is the word of the Creator coming from your mouth. All this is done by prayer, sending your voice to the Great Spirit. So this involves truth, reconciliation, peace, trust, setting free, speaking prophetically, and prayer. It's time to take a second look at the painting. The soldiers are obviously present with their weapons. But ordinary peasants and children are there in greater numbers. When we pray, "Your kingdom come," this is the picture. A nonviolent crowd of ordinary people, including you and me, following in the way of Jesus, and somehow making a difference, despite the presence of powers of evil.